possibly my favorite book in the Bible is Ephesians. Now, I do know that when I preach Genesis, I'll say the same thing, that possibly my favorite book in the Bible is Genesis. But Ephesians does have a very special place in my heart, and I thought it would be good for us to do a series of studies in the book of Ephesians. As we've seen, Ephesians is a letter, and it was written by a man called Paul. We're going to be hearing something about Paul this morning. And we've seen that it was a church in what is today Turkey, in the western part of Turkey. And as we've heard, it was a new church. And this man called Paul, he was the one who planted that church. And a short time after planting that church, he was arrested for being a Christian. No other reason. He was arrested for being a Christian and was put into prison. And while in prison in Rome, he wrote to the church in Ephesus the letter that we have. And this morning I'm just going to be looking at verse 1. And verse 1 says there, Paul, or rather the first line of verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I want to do two things this morning in my sermon. Very briefly, I want to give you an introduction to the letter. In other words, I want to give an overview. What is the whole letter about? And then I want to look at that first line of the letter. So what is this letter about? There is Paul in a prison in Rome. And there is this church thousands of miles away in western Turkey. And it's a new church. And Paul knows that that church is going to face difficulties. Because all Christians face difficulties. If you're a Christian this morning, you're born again, and you love the Lord Jesus, and you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, your life will be a life of joy. Your life will be a life of contentment. Your life will be a life of faith. But you will also have difficulties. We have an enemy, and that enemy attacks us. And we live in a world of sin. So Paul knew that these Christians in Ephesus, they're going to face trials, tribulations, persecution, difficulties in their Christian lives. He knew that there'd be illness, there'd be resistance, there'd be opposition, there'd be violence. He knew all these things would happen. And he wrote this letter to them. Now, in the Bible, it says that it is good for the heart to be strengthened with grace. That's a text in the letter to the Hebrews. The writer to the Hebrews says that to his readers. He says to them, it is good for the heart to be strengthened with grace. And actually in Hebrews, the context is persecution. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, when you as Christians face difficulties, when you face opposition, when you face trials in your Christian life, it is good if your heart has been strengthened with grace, because if your heart has been strengthened with grace, you're able to face the difficulties and not be defeated by them. And Paul wrote Ephesians to strengthen their hearts with grace. The theme of this letter is the grace of God. And there's nothing more beautiful and nothing more precious than the grace of God. In many ways, it's a great shame that we speak about grace so often and we sing about grace. And you know, there is this great danger that it becomes so familiar, we forget what a wonderful thing it is and we don't even explore the depths of it. This is something we should do as Christians. We should give ourselves to studying grace. What is grace? What are the depths of God's grace? What do we mean when we say God is gracious to us? What do we mean when we say that the grace of God strengthens our hearts? What is all this about? We need to study this, and Ephesians will help us. Very briefly, there are four things that we find in the letter to the Ephesians. The main theme is grace, and there are four things that this letter will teach us. It'll teach us in the first place that our relationship to God is based on grace. If you're a Christian here today, you have a relationship with God. You are His child and He is your Father. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are His servant and He is your Savior. And you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit because He lives in you. And that relationship is a grace relationship. We will explore more of that as we study this letter. This book also teaches us in the second place that our salvation is by grace. You don't go to heaven because you do good works. You go to heaven because God is gracious and He graciously gives you heaven as a free gift. If you hear this morning and you think to yourself, well, as long as I do my best to live a good life, a moral life, a decent life, and I do my best to be a religious person, and I go to church and I say my prayers and I read my Bible, and I do all these good works, religious works, God will see that I've done all these good works and religious works, and God will reward me by giving me heaven. If this is how you are thinking, I say to you, your thinking is completely wrong, completely wrong. We can never earn heaven. Heaven is not a reward for good works. Heaven is a free, gracious gift to those who ask. So our salvation is by God's grace. Third thing this teaches us, this letter, our Christian lives are lived through God's grace. So you don't live your daily Christian life in your own strength. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I must pray today, I must read my Bible today, I must live a good life today, and I must make sure I do this, I do this, I do this. You go to God in prayer at the beginning of the day. The moment you get out of bed, you go to God and you say, strengthen me, give me grace, so that I may live a life that pleases you, so that all my Christian duties are joyful duties. Do you know prayer can be a joyful thing? Bible reading can be a joyful thing because the grace of God floods into our hearts. And then the fourth thing that this letter teaches us is that our fight against sin is empowered by God's grace. Right at the end of the letter in chapter 6, there's a passage on the armor of God. And Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, put on the armor of God. And he mentions each piece of the armor one by one. The breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth and feet shod with the gospel of peace and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and so on. And he says all of this is through the grace of God. God graciously gives you this armor. God graciously enables you to put it on. And God graciously enables you to stand in that war. You will not fall, he says. Stand firm in the power and the grace of God. So Ephesians is all about grace. And I pray, and I tell you this, I've prayed much this week, and I pray that as we study Ephesians, that our hearts will be warmed, that we will have joy flooding into our hearts, because it's such a lovely letter. It's a most remarkable letter. This man has been in prison through no fault of his own. He didn't commit any crime to be put into prison. And yet you don't find a single word of complaint here. He doesn't complain about being in prison. He doesn't complain about prison conditions or anything like that. He writes a letter full of grace. Isn't this a wonderful thing? This is what God's grace does, you see. Because he, the writer, has experienced God's grace. And so he doesn't complain about the fact that he's in prison on false charges. He doesn't complain about prison conditions, prison food, and so on. You see, his heart is overflowing with grace. And he writes a letter full of grace to people whose hearts needed strengthening with grace. And I pray that God will do a mighty work in our hearts as we study this letter. So that's the introduction. This morning then, just that first line of verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I want to tell you four things about Paul. I promise you I won't be long, but I want to tell you four things about Paul. We know much about this man. When you read the Bible, when you read your New Testament, there is much about Paul. In the book of Acts, we read much about him. And he wrote 13 letters. And in those 13 letters, he revealed much about himself. So we know much about Paul. Well, four things about Paul this morning, and they illustrate the grace of God. The first thing we know about Paul is this, that Paul was a religious man. Paul was a religious man. He was born to a Jewish family. And he was born to a Jewish family that were devout religious people. They were not atheists. I'm told that more than half of Israel's population today are atheists. They don't even believe in the existence of a God. But Paul wasn't born to a family like that. He was born to a devout family. He was brought up in his religion. He was taught the law of Moses. He was taught the scriptures from his childhood. And so he grew up in the strictures of this religion and he took it on. He wasn't one of these children who was brought up in a religious home but then rejected the religion. Some people do this. He didn't. He actually took on the religion of his parents and he became highly religious himself. He was a religious man. A second thing about Paul that we know is that he was a zealous man. You know how some people are religious, but they have religion without zeal. So if you speak to them and say, do you believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God. And do you believe in heaven? Yes, I believe in heaven. And I believe in Jesus and I believe in the Bible. But there's no zeal in their religion. And if they wake up on Sunday morning and they think, I think I'll go to church today, they go to church. Or they wake up on Sunday morning and they say, oh, a Sunday market is on Hill Road. I think I'll go to Sunday market today. Or Cadbury's garden center is open today and spring is coming. I think I'll go and do a bit of shopping. There's no zeal in some people. Now, you wouldn't have found that with Paul. He wasn't one of these lukewarm religious people. You read the Bible and you find that he had tremendous zeal for his religion. He was Jewish, he believed in the Jewish religion, and he believed that all who were Jews should obey the Jewish religion. We read in the Bible that in Jerusalem, when certain people left the Jewish religion and became Christians, Paul couldn't just stand and watch them leaving the Jewish religion and follow Christianity. He had to go and persecute them. He had to force them to return to the Jewish religion. The Bible tells us that he wreaked havoc in Jerusalem. These are words that are used in the Bible. That he wreaked havoc in Jerusalem. He would go into people's homes. He would drag them out into the streets. And he would imprison them because they had left the Jewish religion. This is the kind of zealous zeal that he had. So Paul was a religious man. Paul was a zealous man. A third thing. Paul was not right with God. Now, this is not my view, this is his. We have several places in the Bible where Paul shares his life story. There are accounts in the book of Acts when he's standing before a crowd in Jerusalem, or there's an account in Acts when he's standing before the governor Felix and his wife Drusilla. We have letters where he has written his testimony. There's a testimony in Philippians. There's a testimony in 1 Timothy. And he talks about himself. And he says, I was this religious man. I believed in the creeds of my religion. And I was a zealous man. I wasn't half-hearted. I wasn't lukewarm. I was so zealous that I actually persecuted people in the name of my religion. But, and this is what he says himself about himself. He says, I was never right with God. Now, this is something we need to get hold of. Because this is one of the most important lessons you will ever learn from the Bible. You may be a religious person. You may have been born in a Christian home. You may say to yourself, well, Britain is a Christian country and I've been born into a Christian country. I wasn't born in Saudi Arabia, which is Islamic, or India, which is Hindu. I'm born in a Christian country, and you may have been born in a home where people went to church. Your parents went to church and you may have been taken to church ever since you were a child. And perhaps you went through all sorts of rituals and you've been in church ever since you've been a child and you've been devout in your religion and you've gone to church. And you would say, I'm a serious-minded Christian. I'm a religious person. And I seek to live a decent life, a moral life, an upright life. Do you know those things in and of themselves do not make you right with God? Religion does not save us. Zeal in religion does not save us. Merely doing religious duties does not save us. Doing religious duties zealously does not save us. These things do not allow us an entry into heaven. The way into heaven is not religious works and good works and moral works and being an upright person. I know this is a very common way of thinking. It is not the Bible's teaching. And Paul learnt this. There's a tremendous story in the Bible where Paul is on his way to a city called Damascus. And the Lord Jesus meets with him. And he realizes what the truth is. It's a wonderful story and he develops it much in his writings. So the fourth thing about Paul, we've seen he was a religious man, a zealous man. He was not right with God. And the fourth thing then about Paul was saved by the grace of God. Today Paul is in heaven. But he didn't enter heaven because he was a religious man. He didn't enter heaven because he was a zealous man. He didn't enter heaven because he zealously pursued his religion and persecuted those who denied his religion. He didn't enter heaven because he was a moral, upright, decent sort of person. He entered heaven because he trusted in Jesus Christ alone. He saw that the only way to enter heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. He saw that Jesus Christ has done everything that is necessary for a person to enter heaven. That Jesus has done it all. And what we need to do is to trust Him and ask Him to save us rather than to try and to save ourselves. We need to ask Him to gain us an entry into heaven rather than work our way into heaven. This is what Paul saw. I wonder if you've seen it yet. I wonder if your eyes have been opened and you've seen religion doesn't work. Zeal in religion doesn't work. A decent, moral, upright life will not gain me entry into heaven. It is Christ alone. And Paul then left his religion and the zeal that he had in his old religion. He actually says in one passage, he says, I counted them as rubbish. Counted them as rubbish. All that religion that I had, all that zeal that I had, all that heart that I had in following my religion, he says, I counted them as rubbish. I gave them all up, he says, for the sake of knowing Christ. Because he realized that there is a door that enters, that takes us into heaven, and that door is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. All who enter through me will be saved. Those are words that Jesus himself spoke. I am the door, and all who enter through me will be saved. So Paul no longer trusted in his own works, no longer trusted in his religion, no longer trusted in his zeal, but he trusted in Jesus Christ alone. When he died and he stood at the gate of heaven, and they said to him, why should we allow you entry? He didn't say, well, you know, I was Jewish, and I was circumcised on the eighth day, and I never ate pork, and I went to the temple, and I sang the psalms, and I offered animal sacrifices. I did everything that my religion required of me, and I was zealous in it. He didn't give that answer at the gates of heaven. He simply said, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. His death was in my place. His blood has cleansed me from my sin. His death has brought me forgiveness. It is life through His death. This is why I want to enter heaven, because He is in heaven. I love Him as my Savior, and I want to spend eternity with Him. It is Christ who is my Savior, and I want to enter heaven through faith in Him alone. Not works, not religion, but Christ. And because he had Christ, and he had faith in Christ, and he was united to Christ, he entered heaven. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever come to Jesus? And have you ever said to Him, Lord Jesus, I do not trust in my own works, but I trust in You alone. Lord Jesus, I'm not going to try and enter heaven by my own works, but I'm going to ask you to gain me entry into heaven. Have you ever prayed such a prayer? Have you ever asked him to save you, to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to gain you an entry into heaven? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that we might enter heaven. When Jesus died on that cross, our sins were laid upon him, and he paid the penalty. And he shed his blood that we might be cleansed from the filth of our sins. He shed his blood that we might be forgiven the guilt of our sins. He shed his blood that we might be washed and enter into heaven as God's people. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, or do you trust in your own works? It's a very simple question, really. And it's surely very simple to answer. You know your own heart. Are you trusting in your works, or are you trusting in Jesus? Well, there was Paul, and at one time he trusted in his own works, in his religion, in his zeal, and it never put him right with God. And then he gave up all of that, and he trusted in Jesus Christ, and he entered heaven. If you've never trusted in Christ, I commend him to you. I invite him to you. And I say, come to him today. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, come to him. He says, come to me, and I will in no wise turn anybody away. Well, come to him. Come and pray to him, and ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you, and ask him to make you a real Christian. And then you will experience the grace of God. You will know what grace means, and the grace of God will flow into your heart, and you will know what it means to be saved by grace. There's nothing more wonderful in this world than that. It's a joyful, animating thing to know the grace of God. Why not today come and explore the grace of God through salvation in Christ? Amen. Let's pray together.